like to turn to Matthew 28. We want to continue looking at the church covenant. We've been last several weeks on the reasons for the tithes and offerings. We've seen that it is to support the ministry, and each member has that responsibility, support the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor. And then the next thing that's mentioned is to contribute to the spread of the gospel throughout the world, which of course is the responsibility of the Lord's churches. Therefore, it is the responsibility of each member of the Lord's churches. But in Matthew chapter 28, we see that the commission and command given by the Lord to his churches is worldwide. It's not just a local command, it's worldwide. In verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, that is in this authority, and teach all nations, and that's the responsibility of each church. Now that requires a few things. It requires money, and that's what tithes and offerings, part of what it is used for. It also includes you and I doing our part of telling others about Christ. And he goes on and tells them to baptize them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. But we see the worldwide aspect of it in those words, all nations. Then in Mark chapter 16, we see Mark's account and the way he puts it in verse 15 is, go ye into all the world. Again, there's the worldwide aspect of the commission, and preach the gospel to every creature, to every individual worldwide. And then in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and I can't remember what verse I wanted here. Verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, which of course is where they were located. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, just prior to the day of Pentecost, and just prior to Christ's ascension back into heaven, says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So we see, in each case, it is a worldwide commission. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, the verse we read there, it said, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see again the order of the commission. Everything the Lord does is in the order. It is according to God's order. And we are to spread the gospel to the entire world. Each local church has that responsibility. That is, they are to play a part in that. But the Lord lays down the order of that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He stated in Luke 24, beginning at Jerusalem, he states the same thing here in Acts 1 verse 8. In Jerusalem, and then he mentions Judea, and then he mentions Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And I believe there is a very definite order there, and I believe you can find that order throughout the book of Acts. But we see here Jerusalem, of course, is the city where the church is located. That's where it's to begin. That's where they are to begin preaching the gospel. The next thing that is mentioned is Judea, which would be equivalent to the state of where a church is located. Then Samaria, which would be equivalent to the country where one is located. And then to all the world. So we see that there is a very definite order. But we also see that the mission of the church is worldwide in its extent. So what is the purpose of missions? The purpose of missions is the proclaiming of the gospel. That's the number one purpose, the proclaiming of the gospel. But if that's all you do, you have not fulfilled the commission. But that's where it starts. It starts with the proclaiming of the gospel. Folks get saved, and then those people are to be united into scriptural churches. So what if there aren't any? Well, of course, that the church is to start churches. So mission work is the preaching of the gospel. It is also the establishing of scriptural churches. And then what they are to do there is to teach them the things of God. And then, of course, they do the same thing. They are to send forth individuals. They are to start churches. And then those churches continue to teach. And in this way, the perpetuity of the church is carried on. So we see the Lord's plan is perfect. The Lord's purpose is perfect. The purpose of missions is never. It has never been social improvement. For individuals to go into a country and try to improve a country socially, that's a good work, but that's not missions. That's not the purpose of missions. And it's not the improvement of secular education. Again, that's a good thing. For someone to go into another country and improve their educational system, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. That would be a good thing. But that we must not confuse that with missions. That's not what missions is about. Nor is it just the betterment of society. Though all of those things will take place if the gospel is preached, if the gospel is believed, and the gospel is practiced, there's going to be an improvement in a society. But those things alone are not missions. You cannot do mission work without preaching the gospel and without organizing New Testament Baptist churches. Nor is it the purpose of missions to Americanize a country. That's not what missions is about. Now, we happen to believe, of course, that our way of life, that you just can't improve upon it in this world, but that's not the purpose of missions, to Americanize people. The purpose of missions is to preach the gospel. And hopefully they are saved, and then you baptize them, and then you begin to teach them. So a lot of people have confuse these things with mission work. It's not about medical care. Again, there's all kinds of people that go in other countries and give them medical care and improve their medical care, and many of them do that in the name of missions. That's not missions. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do that. That's a good thing to improve another country's medical care, but that's not missionary. So we must not confuse those two. Or they'll go over and teach them how to farm, the improvement of agriculture. But again, none of those things are missions. Missions is the proclaiming of the gospel. And that is so clearly illustrated in the book of Acts. Again, it's called the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles were the first church. And we see the book of Acts records the acts or the activity of that church, or the kind of churches that Jesus established. And the book of Acts lays down a very detailed, gives us much detail on what missions is all about. Now notice in the book of Acts chapter 8, the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. This isn't a universal church. This is the church that was at Jerusalem. And they, that is the church which was at Jerusalem, were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles remained in Jerusalem, but everyone else was scattered abroad. And then in verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. They went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Wherever they went, they preached the gospel. Now, when Paul and Barnabas were sent out as missionaries from the Church of Antioch, which was established under the authority of the Church of Jerusalem, they, everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 13, the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. So they went to the city, they preached the word of God. Their method was to go into the synagogues and preach the word of God. And then notice in Acts chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, and were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. And there they preached the gospel. Then notice verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch. So again, they continue preaching the gospel. Verse 24, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down unto Attalia. So we see everywhere they go, they are preaching the gospel. Then notice in the book of Acts chapter 15, book of Acts chapter 15, verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So they backtracked. They went to all the places where they had preached the word of God. And I believe churches were established there. And Paul and Barnabas went back to strengthen those churches and went back to see how those churches were doing, how those churches were faring. Then notice in the book of Acts chapter 16 and verse 10, and after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So again, we see if they were going to go into Macedonia, and they were going to do the same thing there, that is, preach the gospel. And then Acts chapter 17, and in verse 1, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And then notice in verse 13 of Acts chapter 17, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then in verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." As you go through the book of Acts, they not only preached everywhere they went, but they preached the same message everywhere they went. That's missions. That's mission work. Tithes and offerings go to help support mission work, and each member has a responsibility to give their tithes and their offerings, and then some of that money the church sends to missions. So we have the purpose of missions is to preach the gospel, to establish churches, and to teach people so that they can be settled. The goal of missions is not that an American will pastor that church from here until the Lord comes back, but that people will be taught, the Lord will call natives to preach and natives to pastor their own people. That's how it's to work. And we see this all the way through. We see God has a method concerning the work of missions. God has a plan, and the plan is clear. It's just as clear as the commission to preach the word of God. It's not a veiled plan. It's not a hidden plan. God's plan is very, very clear. And today we live, of course, in a time of human invention. People are always trying to improve upon God's ways. And the religious world is always trying to improve upon God's ways. And the religious world is trying to justify their own methods, even though their own methods are contrary to God's methods. They're always trying to justify their methods. And they'll say, "Well, we're very sincere," and they may be. Well, don't question their sincerity. And without a doubt, many of the so-called missionary programs today were started by saved individuals, started by individuals who love the Lord, started by individuals who meant well, started by individuals who were very sincere. But none of that is a substitute for how God said it's to be done. So sincerity is not a substitute for obedience. We have to do it God's way. So how does a local New Testament Baptist church preach the gospel to all the world? How do they do that? And does it matter how they do it? Well, of course it matters how they do it. And again, the book of Acts reveals the answer to those questions. The book of Acts reveals how a small church can take a part in preaching the gospel to all the world. And then the book of Acts tells us exactly how it's to be done as well. So in the book of Acts chapter 13, if we go back there, book of Acts chapter 13, here again we see in verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch." So we're talking about the church that was at Antioch. Again, established under the authority of the Jerusalem church. Then notice in verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord," that is the individuals that were in this church and that are mentioned here in verse 1, "as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said," again, to these individuals who were in the church at Antioch, "separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So the first thing we see is the Holy Spirit is the one who calls men to do the work of preaching the gospel. God had called Barnabas and Paul to preach the gospel. church is not to support with tithes and offerings anybody who does not do it God's way. And they are not to support someone who is not called by the Spirit of God. So we see that's the first thing. We see Barnabas and Saul were called to do the work by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit not only calls men to do the work, but he also chooses the field where he wants that particular labor, where he wants that particular individual to labor. And notice, in if you keep a mark there in Acts 13 and turn to the book of Acts chapter 16, Acts 16 and verse 6 through 10, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Again, this is not left up to the whims of man where to go to preach. It is to be completely under the direction of the Spirit of God. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, that is, they desired to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit did not allow them to go there. Barnabas and Paul wanted to go to Bithynia to preach. The Spirit of God said, no, that's not where I want you to go. And as they were passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So we see the Spirit of God calls a man to preach, and the Spirit of God directs that individual where to preach. It's a missionary. But now if we go back to Acts chapter 13, we see that mission work, we see that this individual who is called by the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God, mission work is intimately connected with the Lord's church. Again, we're dealing here in Acts 13 with the church that was located at Antioch. And he said to that church, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have appointed them. So the Holy Spirit called the men themselves, and then he called upon his church to recognize them and to send them out. He said to the church, separate me. God had already called them to preach. But again, the Lord said to the church, you separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. They would go out under the authority of the Antioch church. So the church, the kind of church that Jesus organized during his earthly ministry, is the Lord's authoritative body upon earth today. New Testament makes that very, very clear. So when it comes time to do mission work, when it comes to doing the Lord's work, is the Lord going to bypass his authoritative body upon this earth? Of course not. He's not going to bypass the church. He never bypasses the church in missions. So to form missionary boards, to form missionary associations, or whatever you want to call them, and a lot of people are calling them a lot of different things in order to deceive people into believing that they're not under some board. It's the same thing. Call it a board, call it an association, call it whatever you want. Still the same thing. So to form missionary boards and associations is bypassing the authority that the Lord gave to his churches. And if these missionary boards have officers, and they do, and they have staff, and they do, that those officers are paid, and those staffs are paid. And how are they paid? They are paid out of the money that churches send for missionaries. And then what's left is sent to the missionary. That's not God's way. God's way is through the church to either the church that has sent them out or directly to the missionary, however the church wants it done that has sent that missionary out. So there's no such thing today as a freelance missionary. And by freelance missionary, we simply mean someone who is bypassing the Lord's church. There's no such thing as a freelance missionary with divine authority. But this is what they'll say. Oh, I'm not under any church. I'm under the authority of God. There's no such thing. The Lord does not bypass his authoritative body upon this earth, which is his church. So God expects his missionaries to submit themselves to a church and to be sent out by that church. Now, there are many reasons for this. And again, they're all for safeguards. God has decreed that the church is the place where Christ receives glory. Ephesians 3:21. That's reason number one, that mission work ought to be done through the Lord's churches. But also the authority and the oversight of a church helps prevent, certainly helps cut down the number of false disciples that want to go out. The authority of the church is they are to examine an individual before they send someone out. They are to, that individual is to prove themselves to the church. And the Lord has said all this for a safeguard. This authority makes the missionary answerable to the church. The missionary, first of all, is answerable to the church that sent him out. That's where he is answerable to, because he is a member of that church. But he is also, to some degree, answerable to all the churches that support him. And again, people have to be held accountable. That's true no matter what. Doesn't matter. We have to be held accountable to keep us straight. And that's certainly true with missionaries as well. Notice in Acts chapter 14. Verse 26 and 27. And thence sailed to Antioch, from which they had been recommended. Remember, back in Acts 13, they were sent out by the church of Antioch to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, that is, to the church of Antioch, and they had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. What did they do? They gave a report to the church of Antioch. They came home and they gave a report. They reported, they testified what they had been doing. They had testified what God had done. So we see the mission work is intimately connected with the Lord's churches. And each and every one of us as a member has responsibility to give tithes and offerings. And that helps in mission work. We see the Holy Spirit then lead, the Holy Spirit leads a church to send a man out. And then the Holy Spirit leads the Lord's churches to help these God-called, church-sent missionaries. And I believe that's the only kind of missionary there is God-called, church-sent. There's no other kind of missionary. So then the Lord leads his churches to financially support these men. Notice in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. It's not possible for you and I, and it's not possible for home church to literally go out into all the world. But we do our part when we help those whom the Holy Spirit sends to various locations. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 16, that ye submit yourselves unto, no, I've got the wrong verse. No, that ye submit yourselves unto such and everyone that helpeth with us, that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now, there's a lot of different ways to help missionaries. One, of course, is by sending financial support. You help them. You take part in the work. Notice in Philippians chapter 4, Paul makes this very plain. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. That is, they were in touch with Paul, and they shared with Paul. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me, and then he tells what he means by this communication, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. He says only the church of Philippi helped us financially. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That is the church of Philippi. So Paul's out there preaching the gospel, teaching the people. The church of Philippi is helping him financially. And Paul says that that would abound to their account. In other words, they were taking part in this mission work. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. So the church sent Epaphroditus with support for Paul, clothing, whatever it was, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. Now he's talking to a church. He's talking to a church that has been faithful in supporting missions. And he says, my God shall supply all your need. That is not an open-end promise. Strictly in the context, it's referring to a church, but it certainly has application to anyone who is faithful in their stewardship, according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, again, we see when we send an offering to a missionary or to another church, that abounds to our account. In other words, it's just the same as if we went ourselves. And that's how a church preaches the gospel worldwide. And the way the Lord finances that is through tithes and offerings. He has no other way of financing it. It is through tithes and offerings of God's people. That is the way that will work. It will work every single time, and it will work because it's God's way. And it will always work. And then you go over to the book of 2 John, 3 John. We'll not turn there tonight, but we see he's talking about mission work there as well. When he says, if any man come unto your door and preach not Jesus Christ, you do not bid them Godspeed. And he's referring to a church there. He's not talking about, contextually, he's not talking about someone knocking on your house door and you inviting them in. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about missions. A Baptist church should only support Baptist missionaries. No one else. And a Baptist church should know what a missionary believes, and if a missionary stops believing that along the line, then a Baptist church has the authority and should responsibly cut off support. You cannot send the Lord's money to missionaries who are not doing it God's way. Very plain, very simple. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how nice they are. Doesn't matter what a tremendous work they may appear to be doing. It doesn't matter if it's a friend of the pastor or a relative of church. None of that matters. None of that has any bearing whatsoever. Just because someone's a friend doesn't mean they're worthy of support. So we have a responsibility as a church. So each one of us has the obligation to give our tithe, and to give our offering. The church has the authority to determine how that money is to be dispersed. But when we give our tithes and we give our offerings, we are taking part individually We are taking part in God's work. Then we give it to the church, and the Lord receives glory through his church. I don't believe it's scriptural for myself as an individual or for anyone else to send a check to a missionary directly. I believe it's to go through the church. I believe every dime of mission support is to go through the church. And I know some will disagree, but I don't even believe that wouldn't say it's wrong necessarily, but there's a better way to do it. To go up to a missionary and just hand them $20. The best way to do that is put it in the offering plate and then have the church give it to him. That's the best way to do it. Everything through the church. The Lord receives glory, and I believe the Lord will bless when we do it that way. So we have an obligation, you and I, his members, to give our tithes and to give our offerings. And by doing this, we help support missions. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, if you give water to one that's thirsty, it's just like if you gave it to Christ himself. And that's true with mission work as well. It's just as if you gave it to Christ himself. And the Lord is going to bless that. He always has. He always will. God's way works. And all these individuals today who want to say, well, the way they did it in Acts worked for them, but it's not going to work today. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And it's the only way that God will receive honor and receive glory. So God help us to do it God's way. To do it God's way. To always do it God's way. Brother Tim.